The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Abel, let's lift our voices and our hands and let's give him praise.
God, the great I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One more time, say,
you are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
The great I am.
You are the great I am.
Hallelujah.
We take it like two more times, then we get to the word. Praise our voice.
You are the mighty God.
Mighty God.
The great I am.
Hallelujah.
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 Everybody sing.
You are the mighty God. The great I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you this evening. We receive your word this evening upon good ground. Bless us. And I open up this place for the mighty, mighty move of your spirit as you desire. Let there be impartations. Let there be heavenly visitations. Let there be encounters with the divine. And may we not remain the same after this in Jesus' name. Shout your amen louder. Hallelujah. You might be seated. You should power this up some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready this evening? Hallelujah. Okay, so this is not like it's not like a series, okay? But what we are doing these Thursdays is that we are trusting to engage the power of God for supernatural answers. Amen. And so what I do basically when I prepare for meetings like this, I just first wait upon the Lord as it's approaching. Wait upon the Lord, do some meditating and all that to hear what he's going to say or to see what he's going to drop in my spirit. And whatever he drops, I will just flow in that direction. Okay, so last week I was trying to show us that the desire of God for everybody, for the church, is that we live a life of power. Remember that? I told you the believer is supposed to be characterized and notable for signs and wonders. And this is both in performing and in receiving. Remember that? The believer is supposed to be known as someone who performs signs and wonders, and then be known as someone who receives signs and wonders too. So when the believer tells his story, it should be a story full of the miraculous. I don't think it is normal for the believer in Christ to live a very ordinary life. A very ordinary life. I don't think it is normal. Because if you live a very ordinary life, somehow I feel nothing differentiates you from the unbeliever. Of course, not nothing actually, but at least because you have the Holy Ghost, you have a believer and all that. But at least in the physical. Okay? You know, something I said last week that is very powerful. The unbelievers out there don't see your spirit man. They don't even know you're saved. In fact, there are some that will never believe that the hand of God is upon you. And the reason is simply because when the hand of God is upon you, nobody sees it as per physical hand of God coming upon you. So there should be some signs that should characterize the life of a believer to show that God's hand is upon him. And so as a believer, one of the things you should really expect is that there will be that touch of the miraculous in your life that would make clear differences. One of the things I would like you to do is this. Whenever you are applying for something or you are in a place with some people, expect that something has to be different with you. For just because you believe. And that's one thing I like you to expect, that something is going to be different. I'm going to get a different result. And they say, why? I say, because I'm a believer. And they say, oh, are you the only believer here? Well, I don't know. But all I know is that I believe in Jesus. And he told us that if we believe in him, he said, great, we shall do the same works. The same works. So the believer's life is meant to be characterized by power, by signs and by wonders, both in performance and in the receiving. Shout amen, somebody. Both in the performance and in the receiving, our God is a God of signs and wonders. And I showed you last week how that the men of old, we are men of signs and wonders. They were men who had supernatural results. They were not men. You know, one of the reasons why people knew that God was with Israel was because they saw physical proofs that God was with them. You know, Zoe is coming next week, next month. And the thing for Zoe next month is the glory cloud. And one of the things that you will notice that will characterize Zoe will be sights and sounds. And by sights and sounds, I mean things that people can see and things that people can hear. Miracles that people can see and touch and feel and testify to. And things that they will hear. And you get what I'm talking about? And that's what happens when the glory comes. When the glory comes. And so when we're talking about the believer, your life should be characterized by tangible expressions of the power of God. You know, it should be normal and commonplace with you to say things like, you know, I didn't have money and I prayed and money came. You know, one of these, recently I was thinking and meditating over the miracles of Jesus. One of the things that stood out for me was how he performed these miracles in a very simple way. He lived this miraculous life like he was living his normal life. Oh, we need money to pay for tax. He said, ah, Peter, oh yeah, go and fish. Just catch fish. You'll see money. It was just so normal. There was not much drama to the miracles of Jesus. It was just a normal human being doing his life. And that is how the life of the believer is meant to be. Naturally supernatural. Normally supernormal. I get what I'm talking about. It's a normal life. You're just living your everyday life. Doing your everyday thing. Just that somehow with you, you are getting a different result. And it's something I've lived to experience. That I can live my normal life and have a different result. I can read like every other person and come out with a different result. Because I am supernatural. And let me teach you something. Normalize telling people. Now hear this. Normalize telling people, God did that for me. Now don't think it's being too spiritual. Normalize it. Oh, this exam, all of us read and then we didn't pass, but you did well. Are you the jackal? Normalize telling them things like, well, God helped me. I prayed and God came to. Normalize it. Because if we're not careful, because we are just trying not to sound so spiritual, we take the glory that is due God and we give it to other things. We give it to discipline. We give it to hard work. Are we following what I'm talking about? Yeah. Others will normally treat this sickness for 1 year, but you just 2 months gone into treating it and suddenly they can't find anything in your body. Tell them, God did that for me. Don't let them say things like, oh, your body, it's body system. No, it's not body system. God healed me. Normally, because it should be normal. And that's why, if you're venturing into anything new, expect that there will be something different with the results you're going to get. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 32 verse 17, it tells us, he said, I am the Lord, he's the God of all flesh. He said, is anything too hard? There is nothing too hard for thee. And you notice, the angel quoted this verse to Mary. When he came to Mary, I was telling Mary, you're going to have a child. That's in Luke chapter 1. And Mary was like, how can these things be? I know not a man. I said, the power of God will come upon you. At first, before he did, I told him that there's nothing too hard for God to do. Told him that. And that's amazing. There's actually nothing too hard for God to do. So normalize miracles in your life. And I tell you, the rest of this year will be characterized by miracles. The rest of this year will be characterized by signs and by wonders. The rest of this year will be characterized by supernatural results. The rest of this year will be characterized by things that people will look at and they will say, this is the finger of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I expect when I wake up every day. Wake up every day expecting that something new is going to happen today. Something good is going to happen to me today. I'm going to receive a miracle today. I'm going to receive money today. I'm going to receive favors today. I'm going to receive answers today. Expect that every day. Because why? You're a believer. You know, I showed you last week, your lineage is power. In fact, everything about the believer is power. Think about that. Where do you come from? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Think of everybody in your spiritual ancestry. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Had babies at what age? Think of Isaac. There was famine in the land. And in that same land, he dug a well. Bible said he prospered in that land. Think of Jacob. Think of Elijah. Think of Elisha. Think of everybody. Come to the New Testament. Think of Paul. Think of Peter. Everybody, your spiritual ancestry, we are powerful men. So it should be normal that powerful things will happen to you. I'm just telling you what I'm telling you. And I was thinking about this. Everybody, your ancestry. Oh, one day I was looking at it this afternoon or earlier this morning. One day Paul was just trying to gather firewood and then a snake, a viper beat him. Now, if the viper just beat Paul and left, you would have said maybe he did not bite him. The viper beat him and fastened itself on Paul's hand. Paul raised his hand, the thing fastened itself on Paul's hand. Paul shook it off, fell into the fire. No treatment, nothing. He didn't even pray. They were waiting for him to swell up. That's what the Bible said. They thought he was going to swell up and he just stood there. Nothing happened. They say this one is a God. That is where you come from. That's where you come from. And so it's normal that there are some stories you should hear about sense. Don't doubt it. Don't say, is that possible? That making it up. There are normal things that should happen to us. Normal things. Hallelujah. Now, there are stories that I don't like telling people. But if I tell, they're going to say, are you even sure that is actually possible? Talk of finances. I've seen people move from nothing in 1 month to becoming millionaires in the next month. And they didn't do it by fraud. They didn't do it by duping anybody. They were just trusting God. They were just speaking the word. And the hand of God came upon them. And they had results. And you say, oh, that is not possible. Well, I read about a man called Obed Edom, who they just kept the ark of God in his house. And in 3 months, the man went from being a pauper to becoming a prosperous man. Just because they kept the ark in his house. Need I tell you that ark, the reality of that ark is the Holy Ghost. And you carry the Holy Ghost on your inside. So something should be different with you. Something should be different. So I need to prepare you that, you know, I'm not just doing this answers thing so that you just excite you this period. It's a mindset you should carry every day. That miracles should be normal to me. Oh, signs and wonders should be normal to me. Should be very normal. It shall come to pass in the last days that I shall pour my spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. He said, young men shall see visions. He said, your old men shall dream dreams. He said, they put upon the men servants and the maid servants. He said, will I pour my spirit? The next verse is interesting. He said, blood, fire, vapors, pillars of smoke. He said, I will show signs in the heavens. We are in the days of signs. And so, don't find it strange that we'll come into service here.
We come into Zoe here, and you look behind there, you can see a thick cloud there. Not with the eyes of the spirit, physically, you see a cloud there. We've seen these things happen practically here. I've held meetings here that I can tell you nobody can step on this stage and stand. And you step here, you go down. Why? It's the glory of God. When it comes with sights, it comes with sounds. When I mean sights and sounds, I'm talking about things that you feel in your spirit. Sights that you can see with your eyes, even the unbeliever can see it. So, don't find it strange. Are you know what I'm talking about? Don't find it strange that you could get home tonight and have an angel sitting inside your room talking to you. Don't find it strange. I'm telling you. Who has ever had an angelic visitation here? Anybody? Who has ever seen Jesus face to face? The day you will see Jesus, the day you will see angels, they will just be like every other normal day. Because that's the love of a believer. And I was reading about how Brother Hagin saw Jesus. The last time he saw Jesus, he said they cooked. Was it sandwich or so? Finished cooking, just sat down to eat, something like that. He said, no, come bring something from the kitchen. As the guy was coming, he said, he turned. Jesus was standing there. And he told the guy, excuse me. Just a very normal day. Not even prayer. That's the love of the believer. Visions are normal to us. Are you following me, somebody? They're normal. Because one day you're going to just come back from school and just sit down and you want to rest. Just lift your eyes and you see him standing, talking to you, telling you things about your future. He will come with coals of fire and he's going to anoint you. These things are normal that should happen to us. Normal things. Hallelujah. Same say, I am for signs and wonders. Say, I am for the supernatural. Sit for a moment. Hallelujah. So the believer is meant to live a life of power, a life of signs, a life of wonders. You know, Peter was put in prison. You know, it would have still been a miracle if they prayed. And I say this all the time. If they had prayed and then they went to court and then the courts declared that Peter was set free, that would have still been a miracle. Don't you think so? But God was not ready for that. He broke the prison gates. That's your God. That's where you come from. You know, one day I was telling somebody, I said, God sometimes likes drama. God can be dramatic. What's the point? Breaking prison gates, lifting it, an angel woke, Peter was sleeping, an angel woke Peter up, took him, broke, he came out. The other day, the chains broke, Paul and Silas. Chains broke, just that they didn't leave, they stayed back. I think they were afraid, they stayed back, and now got somebody saved, got the jailer saved, and his whole household, got them baptized on the spot. People who were put in prison. I had a story when I was growing up. It's one of these stories that changed my life. And if I tell some of these stories that I grew up on, you might possibly say, how are we sure? Are you there? They were made up. Well, I was trained not to doubt the supernatural. So anything I hear that is supernatural, I believe. He says, what if they're making it up? Well, if they're making it up, they are lying. It doesn't mean God cannot do it. Are you what I'm talking about? They are lying that it happened to them. So it's just like somebody comes out and says, I raised a cripple down there. Well, if he didn't raise a cripple, he's lying. But can God raise a cripple? I didn't get the point. He's the one lying. It's not that. Because I heard this. But these stories I'm telling you are from reputable men of God. I know that they don't have any business lying on the stage. They have too much experience. Too much records. This man was traveling one of those days. Driving. He said they were speeding. He was a young guy. He was then working with the Scripture Union. So they just bought the zone. Just bought a new bus. And he was driving that bus with his friend. Then they were speeding and then they didn't know that somewhere it's like the road had broken off and they were falling into a ditch. He said he spoke by the power of God. That car turned back, landed back on the main road. He said if it was only him that it happened to, they would have seen him if one person sees snake, you see, you see this big snake. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the guy that was there with him in the bus was there. He said they spoke words and turned back. He said he was shocked. He said when they were falling off, he said in the first split of seconds, what his mind told him is that you will be safe, but this car will be destroyed.
He said he was almost accepting that in the next few seconds. And then he said, no, I will be safe. The car will be safe. And boom, the car turned back by the power of God. Landed back. Now he said, is it possible? That's the kind of thing I expect in my life. And I'm going to see them and have them again and again. I expect that guns will shoot me and bullets will not enter. Those are the kind of things I expect. Why? It is me. I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? It's enough. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. Things should be different with me. And it doesn't matter how many people that were believers and it didn't go well for them. Well, I know what I want to believe. The same man came to a place. I was telling you about this there last week. He said he was driving past, saw there was an accident. And there were three people dead. He said he saw the three of them. One of them was wearing a sticker. Sorry, not a sticker, a bangle on his hand. The bangle was written, all this, I shall not die but live. He said, no. You can't be wearing this and you are dead. Are you following me, somebody? He went there, lifted the first and lifted the second one, spoke life into them. Two came back to life, one did not. I don't know why. Or maybe I know why. But by the time he interviewed them, this is another, instead of another day, by the time he interviewed them, before that accident happened, that guy was arguing against the power of God. They were having an argument, a hot argument in the car. He was arguing that all these church people, I mean, forget all this. Let me, I want you guys, one thing wrong with our generation is this. You know, we are Gen Z. We know they fear anybody. We don't send anybody. May we not use our mouths to short our miracles before it even comes? That's the problem. Because all this, I don't believe in pastors, yeah? Pastors are scam. You know, the point is, what if in the next 10 years, it will be a pastor that will bring you out of your problem? But you already don't believe in him. No matter what he says, it's not going to work. I say, oh, I've said the pastors are fake. Well, the same pastor you said is fake just raised a dead man last week. So you are fake. Can't you see? It is you that is fake. It's not the pastor. So the two guys came back to life. Still alive till today. He said he got to an airport one day and then somebody had just died. So before he got there, he saw the wife kneeling down, crying. He said, what moved me is that I don't like seeing my wife cry. He said, and he said, wife was crying. I just got there, stood over the dead man, started praying. And the doctors that confirmed the guy dead walked past me and just laughed. You know, this kind of mocked me. He said, I didn't listen to them. I just kept praying and praying and praying. And suddenly the guy sneezed. It was the doctor that came and said, ah, this must be God. And he told him, this is God. Hallelujah. That's where I come from. I didn't come from a generation that doubts miracles. No. Said I wanted to do that to me. There was a time all these prophets that used to call names and phone numbers, you know, when it started raining. And a couple of them came around me. And a couple of them were fake. Sit, please. A couple of them were fake. Some of them even arranged stuff that we knew they arranged. You know that is fake. And that is fake because that is real. For instance, there is no fake 30 naira note. Have you ever seen a fake 30 naira note? Because there is no real 30 naira note. Any day a real 30 naira note comes out, there will now be counter 30 naira note. So there is fake 100 naira bill because there is actually real 100 naira bill. If there are no real pastors, there will be no fake pastor. You get the logic now? So, you know, those guys came around me those days and they came around us then. They would just prophesy, call name, oh, da, da, da. And it was a lot of, it sweat people, but I'm a very logical person. And the way I live my Christian life, anything you are doing on stage, I'm a man of, I believe I have the Holy Ghost and I'm a man of presence. If you are doing anything and I come in there and I can't sense the flow, the power of God there, just something is off. So I knew something was off. Well, later I began to, many of them were exposed with a lot of things. That particular incident scarred the minds of many people towards miracles and the prophetic and all that. Because we found out that many of those things were forged. Many of them were arranged. I didn't get the point. So, and then I was almost going there. And then the Holy Ghost said to me one day, have I ever spoken to you? I said, yes, sir. Have I ever told you somebody's name? I say, yes, Lord. Have I ever given you somebody's address? Are you confirmed? I say, yes, Lord. Have I ever given you someone's age or someone's details? I said, yes. He said, if I've told you some of this, now, even though those guys are fake, don't know that I still do those things through people. Don't let the devil, I don't know why I'm going this way. I've not even touched what I wanted to talk about. Don't let the devil mess with your mind. Train your heart to believe that miracles are possible. Miracles are normal. Miracles are possible. Miracles are normal. Miracles are possible. Miracles are normal. And as you begin to train your heart this way, because the thing about it is, I was talking to one of my daughters this afternoon, and I told her, well, she called me, she was happy, she was testifying about something good that happened. Of course, a miracle from last Thursday service, amen. And then she was just shouting, just this afternoon, everything just was shouting. Say, Daddy, my answers have come. I said, well, thank God. And I told her something. Because that stuff she was looking for was really delayed. When she thought she was going to get it, she didn't get it. I said, the thing is, everybody's faith will be tested at one point. I get the point. Everybody is going to need a miracle one day. Everybody. And if you've not trained your heart to believe that miracles can happen, when that time comes, miracles will not happen to you. Because over time, you've told yourself that this thing cannot actually happen. Everything is not logic. Everything is not normal reasoning. Sometimes you have to be abnormal in your thinking. Sometimes you have to be weird in your reasoning. Sometimes you don't have to reason like the normal average person. Sometimes be abnormal. Since you've been normal, what I've said in your life, sometimes be abnormal. I'll tell you for free. So say, they're thinking weird. Well, I've been thinking straight. Nothing changed in my life. When I started thinking weird, the things began to change in my life. Hallelujah. I get what I'm talking about. I've been very normal in my thinking, you know, before someone becomes very wealthy in this life, you have to get a work, you have to go to school, you have to start a business, and it grows over time. I've been thinking like that. Now I want to think differently. That even though that I'm going to work hard, I believe that a nation can be born in a day. You don't get the point. I believe that someone's story can change in a minute. I believe that God is the God that lifts up the poor from the dunghill. Yeah. And sets him in the palace with the kings. So I've been thinking normally before. Now I want to think abnormally. I've been thinking that before you become a manager in the company, you have to grow. Now I want to think differently. That I can get employed today and get promoted tomorrow and get promoted the next day and become the manager. I believe that and I believe it. So sometimes think abnormally. You know the thing about this thinking thing is nobody's going to beat you for thinking that way. It's your thinking. It's not my thinking. It's my mind. I'm free to use it how I want to use it. Stories can change. Mountains are still being moved. The dead are still being raised. Are you following me, somebody? I chose to be different. I chose to reason in line with scriptures. Until Abraham believed and Sarah believed that a woman at 90 could give birth, they were not ready to give birth. Imagine you are Sarah's friend. Or imagine Sarah is in this generation when she was 87 years. She comes on Facebook and she posts, I'm still expecting my baby. They say, chai, yeah. The comment section will be full of things like, we are all your children. We are all here for you. I promise to play the role of a son. Sometimes it's good to think outside the box. It's good to be 89 and think that you can still be pregnant. Now, who's going to beat you for thinking that way? Well, nobody. But I know something is that if you keep thinking normally, you live a normal life. And I shouldn't live a normal life. The greater one lives inside of me. It's higher life. I have a higher life. Because there are different words for life. I've taught you that, right? That is bios. When you deal with bios is the normal life. Okay, there are different words for life. The life, bios is the life that plants have, that animals have. Now, that's the life every other normal person have. There is Zoe. Zoe is the God kind of life. So, things should happen to me differently. I don't know who needs what I'm saying. I've not even opened my notebook. Things should happen to you differently. I like you to leave this place expecting that something has to happen differently with you. Hallelujah. Different results. Higher results. Different results. Higher results. The good thing about expectation is that if your expectation is free, hope is free. No, there are some things I read in the Bible and I ask myself, now, wow. Bible said there is hope for a tree if it be cut down. At the center of water, it's right. I say, a tree cut down. There is still hope. So God never ends the story. If it be cut down. If they say there is no more hope. If everything has finished. If life has put show the shege. There is hope for a tree. And you know, when I saw you, I saw the administration of hope again. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Something can still change. You know the God we serve? Something can still change. Something can still change. Believe a different result. Believe a different result. Believe a different result. Believe a different result. Hallelujah. Until I watched Kenneth Hagin some time ago pray for a shorter leg, and the shorter leg grew. I never knew it was possible. But when I believed it was possible, I began to have the results too. I never saw a short leg grow until I saw that a short leg could grow. Until I knew that a short leg could grow, I never had that result until I saw it one day. I saw it again and again. Wow. You know, one of those meetings, WF Kumu, he got there when he was younger. He just said, you know, I want to pray for all these shorter legs. Cameras, please go focus on them because they're going to start growing now under the power of God. From the stage, he just said, in the name of Jesus, legs grow. And the legs, I say, wow, that's my lineage, my brother. You see what I'm saying is, until I saw it happen, I never believed it could happen. But I've seen all these short legs growing. They used to fake the video. Well, I refuse to believe they fake the video. Well, even if I believe they fake the video, now I no longer believe because I've seen it happen. Not once, not twice. I've seen shorter legs grow. And some of you have seen it too. So you believe that things can be different with you. Please sit again. Amen. Is that okay? And last week I showed you that one of the major tools that God has given us to guarantee that we'll live a supernatural life is the name of Jesus. Remember that last week? The name of Jesus. I said I was going to talk about three, but I just ended at that name of Jesus and we just went. Amen. Pray we'll finish on time. If we do, there's going to be impartation here. So the second thing that God has given, I'm trying to show you things that God has given us to ensure that we live a very supernatural life. We live a life of signs and wonders. This first one is the name of Jesus, and I showed you how that works last week. The second one, he has given us the gifts of the Spirit. Number one, the name of Jesus. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit. When God gave us the gifts of the Spirit, one of the things, put up 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. Let's look at these gifts. This is not a teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, but I'll just brush over it. So that you can get what I'm saying. Say, but to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. Come on. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. So he mentions 9 gifts of the Spirit. He mentions word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. He mentions tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Then he mentions faith, healing, and working of miracles. Now, let me do a little teaching here. These are 9 gifts of the Spirit. God has given us, now, that many people believe that, you know, people have different gifts. Well, I don't really agree with that. Okay, I believe every believer has access to all the gifts of the Spirit. And I tell you why I believe that. There are many scriptures. I've done many teachings on that. But about one of the scriptures I'm going to give, for instance, is that the Bible tells us that we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. So we all have been given these gifts. However, our flow in these gifts will vary from person to person. And the reason is, there are many reasons for that. Sometimes exposure, sometimes knowledge, many reasons for that. Sometimes we've not grown in the usage of those gifts. Are you following me? Are you following me? For instance, if you check Mark 16 verse 17, it says, "These signs shall follow they that believe." They that believe. It talks about they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall... All these things are gifts of the Spirit, but He said it shall follow they that believe. So, healing the sick, for instance, is not peculiar to one person that has one special gift of healing. All of them have been put inside the believer at salvation. Now, the believer now has to fan these gifts to flame gradually. There are some, you might find that you flow in better than the others. And that's a question of growth. That's why you come to church. That's why you get better. Amen. But every believer has received the ability to flow in all these things. That's why every believer can prophesy. Any believer can speak in tongues. Any believer can heal the sick. Any believer can work miracles. Any believer can cast out devils. Any believer can interpret tongues. Every believer and any believer. The reason God made this available for every believer is because, apart from the fact that you are going to use these gifts a lot to help people, like healing, you're going to heal a lot of people. It's going to help people in your environment. It will also help you have a good life. If you learn, hear what I'm going to say. If you train yourself and train yourself to grow and to flow better with spiritual things, it will put your life in order. It will give you a spiritual life. And I'm going to give you some examples today. Because there are many victories I've recorded in life that are recorded by the gifts of the Spirit. Just because I have the gifts of the Spirit, I don't know how to use them. And I've used them and they've worked. Many of them. I'll give an example. For instance, these gifts are divided into three. Three broad divisions. The utterance gifts, the revelation gifts, and the power gifts. What are utterance gifts? Utterance gifts, of course, the word utterance, to utter. That's the gift to say. This gift says something. What are these gifts? Tongues. Second one, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. These things talk. Tongues are talking. Interpretation are talking. Prophecy are talking. Then there are the other three we call revelation gifts. That's to know. Utterance is to say. Revelation is to know. These are the gifts that know things. So there are three. The first one is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. What is word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is that ability to know things, but not just to know things, but to know things that are happening now or things that have happened before. So this gift that works on people and say, "Oh, your name is this, your phone number is this, look at where you are from." That's word of knowledge. It's not actually prophecy, it's word of knowledge. I get what I'm saying? It's the ability to know things. To know things that has happened now or things that have happened in the past. Oh, in 1992, that happened. You say, "Oh, yes, it happened." That's word of knowledge. Now, word of wisdom is the ability to know things too. But this time, you are knowing things that will happen. That's the predictive part of it. When somebody says, "Oh, this is what's going to happen," he said, "I'm talking to you that by tomorrow," you know, Elisha flew by that gift. He told them that by tomorrow, look at how much oil we'll be selling in Israel now. Word of wisdom. Are you what I'm saying? Then there is discerning of spirits. People think discerning of spirits is to just know, "Oh, that's the Spirit of God, that's not the Spirit of God." Well, that's not it. The way that appears, discerning of spirits is the ability to see into the Spirit. To see into the Spirit. So in the discerning of spirits, you see things. That's actually what people, because somebody asked me, "Sir, where is the gift of vision?" That's actually the gift people call vision. Ability to see, to discern the Spirit. I get the point. To see into the Spirit, you know, you can see angels, you can see people, you can see things. And you notice that these three gifts, we call them revelation gifts, because all of them bring about a knowing. Because by the time you see into the Spirit, you will know something. You notice something about these three gifts I mentioned. Three of them, of course, all the gifts of the Spirit work hand in hand, but these three can hardly function on their own. For instance, if I see a vision, maybe I see a horse. Now that is just a vision. I just discern the spirit. But that discern of spirit is nothing yet. I have to now know, is this something that has happened? Something that is happening? Or is that something it means? So that discern of spirit will now bring about either a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Paul or Peter rather saw four-footed animals being dropped down, saying, rise, kill and eat. Later he found out that those animals presented the Gentile nation and that Cornelius was going to come and call him to come and preach for him in his house. You get the point? So what he saw into the spirit, then he knew what to do by the spirit. Now, these three gifts are called revelation gifts. You know something. Are you still here? The other first I explained, I mentioned that the utterance gifts. What is utterance gifts? Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. What is speaking in tongues? Simply speaking divine mysteries in an unknown language. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. I'm trying to rush through this because I'm actually going to somewhere with this whole thing. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. How be it in the spirit? He speaketh what? So it is speaking mysteries that are divine. What does divine mean? Mysteries that are known to God. Even though man will not be able to understand, but God will. So that divine means it's just that you speak them in an unknown language. That's why it's from this verse I normally teach you guys that tongues is not French. Neither is it German. Because this verse is very clear. No man understandeth him. So if you think your own tongues is not real because you don't understand it, well, if you understand it, it's no more tongues. No more tongues. It should be tongues because you don't understand it. Say amen. Uh-huh. Then there is now interpretation of tongues. Now, interpretation of tongues is ability to now pick what you said in that unknown language and bring it to a known language. So maybe you spoke in tongues, repa, kolabaya. The Bible tells us those things are divine mysteries that are known to God. When you now begin to interpret, you are bringing those things you said in that unknown language into a language that you know. Maybe I held a hand and I prayed in tongues, and maybe in praying in tongues, you know, at that time of praying in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. She doesn't know what I'm saying. Or maybe there's a message for her, but I don't know. She doesn't know. The only way she can know is that I now interpret what I said in tongues. And that ability is available to every believer. The reason many believers struggle with interpretation of tongues is because many believers in an attempt to interpret tongues, they actually are looking for translation of tongues and not interpretation of tongues. Because what is translation? Translation is knowing that book is English, akwukwo is Igbo. So anytime you hear me say akwukwo, I'm talking about book. And that's what people expect to hear. When they hear interpretation of tongues, they want to know that every time you say lakabosh, that lakabosh means fire. And sukumaratash means, you know, that's what people think. That's not how you interpret tongues. Interpretation of tongues is that when you're speaking that tongue, God will put a thought of what you're actually speaking out in tongues into your heart. If you want it to flow, open your mouth and give that thought a voice. It's an utterance gift. Maybe I'm praying in tongues now and just seko krepatea levronde kamande le protokaya zilefrino to the parakena aprete koshidea le tipro dike pento vrete kizu le tro de pan to livre anti jipro vekania antro besula prekene malende prekede rabatule prena kia dama. Yeah, I'm gonna put a thought in my heart right now. And that word is just healing. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what this means, but now I'm beginning to get answers to what I'm saying in tongues. So if I want to get it further, I have to put that word in my tongue. So I'll just go by le frian, do caban, de le fruta, le prokena din, brico, latea. Yes, healing, kematuna, fratea, livri kuni mandila pono shita lika raba. For these things, hallelujah. I like this. Le koratea baka. These things are not things that we make up in our head. God actually heals the sick. And he doesn't heal temporarily. He heals permanently. And when he heals, he handles the infirmity. And so the thoughts have been coming again and again that this is not really healing that you have. that it comes, and after some time the sickness comes back. It's like it has gone, it's like it resurfaces again. But says the Spirit of the Lord, when I heal, I bring permanent answers and permanent solutions. Just that you must know that the devil will come for a counter-attack. He will come to counter-attack what God has given you and the healing God has given you. And so you must stand firm in your healing and refuse to lose it. And when the devil makes you feel like you are losing that healing, you don't give in to him, because what God gives you, he doesn't take back. And he has given you healing and he's giving you healing. Don't let the devil bring that thought to say, Lekro bate limansuna teya, debreka matea la batea. To say this is just for 2 weeks, or just for 6 days, or just for 2 months. Reject that thought. Throw that thought away. For healing has come, it has come from the Father, it has come to stay, and you are about to enjoy God's divine health, because that's his plan for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that word meant something to someone. Actually, to 3 persons here, actually. And when I started praying to us, I didn't plan that I was going to talk about healing right now. No, I just, even when I said healing at first, I didn't know what it was going to be about. You know, it could be anything. But that's the interpretation of tongues. And do you know, every believer can do this. Have you observed that when you start praying in tongues, especially maybe when you're praying with somebody, that thoughts begin to rise in your hearts. Thoughts you are not even thinking before. It's not like you're making up things. You're thinking about movie series you watch. Things you are not thinking before. It might just be a word. It can be a phrase and it rises. Give it words, because we're going to do this evening. What I'm trying to show you is how the gifts of the Spirit can help us. You see, can help us live a spiritual life. This thing I mentioned, utterance and distribution of tongues, has helped me in life. Ah. Sometimes when everywhere is dark, everywhere is gloomy, you don't know what to do, you just burst into tongues. You will speak and speak and speak, and words will begin to rise. And you begin to speak for those words of encouragement. Now, the third utterance gift is prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is, now hear this, prophecy is divine utterance, a divine mystery, spoken now in a known language. It's related to interpretation of tongues. Because once you interpret tongues, you have prophesied. But you can actually prophesy without speaking in tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once, if I speak in tongues now, as I did and I prophesied, that was prophecy actually. But I could have actually done that without speaking in tongues. But then, you see, three of them are interconnected, related. Then there is power gift. Power gifts. That's, I've mentioned utterance gifts. I've mentioned revelation gift. I'm not mentioning power gift. Utterance gift is the gift to say. Revelation gift is the gift to know. Power gift is the gift to do. So power gift does something. There are three. Gift of healing, gift of working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Some call it special faith. You know, these three things. Healing is healing the sick. Miracles are divine interventions. Faith is that special ability that God gives to believe him when gift of faith is working. You cannot believe him supernaturally beyond the normal human thinking. And the end point of the gift of faith is that you will receive a miracle. That's the end point. Now, these are the gifts of the Spirit. All of these things are available to the believer. All. And God gave us these gifts primarily so that we can use it and help people. You can know things by the Spirit. You can heal the sick. But then, they can also help you live such a life that can be supernatural and can have supernatural results. Sit down. These people are standing. He's trying to make me teach. Sit down for a moment. Hallelujah. He's trying to make me preach rather. But I want to explain some things, because I just want to explain one or two things to you, because we're going to actually pray. Amen. This, notice, one of the ways to have victory in life, one of the ways to win in life, is by learning how to flow in this gift of the Spirit very well. They will always come in handy. I give an example, utterance gift, to say something, to prophesy, thoughts and interpretation. When there is a mess around you, for instance, when everything is not moving well, when everywhere is dark, stand up in your room, burst into tongues, speak in tongues for some time, give forth that stuff you are hearing in your spirit in English. You will have your answers right there. Now, it's something I've practiced again and again. Do you know that what we call the book of Psalms are actually words that David spoke forth in his prayers? when he had, for instance, there was a psalm he wrote when Saul was after his life. I think that's Psalm 52. He prayed and those words came and he penned them down. And those words brought encouragement. Some of them brought the answers. Psalms, utterance, prophecies is one major way to win in life. When things are bad and you don't know what to do, when you are in a dark place and you don't know what to do, you just raise your voice. Before you know, words just begin to flow. Who has ever practiced what I'm talking about? You just don't know what to do. You just break into tongues. You just break into singing and dancing. And suddenly God begins to speak to you. Words begin to flow. And you just find yourself just announcing, everything is settled. Everything is fine. Everything is sorted. Nothing is going wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. I live wrong. I live strong. With nothing wrong. You see, this is one thing. You notice what the psalmist will always do. Whenever there is a tough situation, he will start talking. He will break into. Now, the difference between what I'm, because the problem is, people try to practice Christianity without the Spirit of God. So you know what they now do? Positive confession. Now, what I'm teaching is not positive confession. That's what people don't understand. And as I say, I did it, nothing happens. You did what? You did positive confession. You're encouraging yourself. Everything is going to be fine. I will make it. I am the first and not the last. I'm a success. I'm not a failure. Who is? Nobody is. No, but there is something about just praying. And then God begins to drop divinely inspired words. There are things you hear me say in this church, you know that you can't sing that one. Then God gave us no hurts, no harm, no shame. Those things did not just come. And those words have kept people safe a very long time. You just pray. I'm not talking about when things are going wrong. And I start thinking, what am I going to confess now? You wake up every day and say, oh, it's not yoga. It's not wishing yourself well. It is all trans by the Spirit. Such thing where you just pray and pray and pray and God drops these things in your heart. And just like the psalmist, you find yourself speaking forth these words. You know, Psalm 3 and verse 1. In Psalm 3 and verse 1, I have a lot of, you know, stuff that the psalmist did. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. So he was praying. He was complaining to God about the things that were going wrong in his life. He said, many there be which say of my soul, stop here for now. There is no way for him in God. So at this point, he was still praying. So when there's a baby, things are just going to just go, you are praying by the name of Jesus. My life, how you come, help me. These are not going well. Change my life, change my story. You're praying. Now verse 3. Utterance now came. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter. The word has just dropped. Are you guys following what I'm talking about? Where this? You just go to prayer. They just get sent by that rejection mail. They say, I'm not good enough for the job, Lord. And then you're praying. Amen. Hallelujah. And you just hear something like, rejoice now because everything is working. Do you know? Those things are not just, they're not just things you make up in your head. That can change your life. That one, Lord, are a shield for me. Now, you can imagine everybody's after your life. Now, they want to shoot you. They have their arrows. They have their stuffs. And what God is telling you is, what you are saying is, you're a shield for me. You can't make those things up. There are not things you make up. Because at that point, that's not when you begin to say, you're a shield for me. Are you guys following me, somebody? Or chance. And tell you what I'm telling you has helped me a lot. And every great man you know that fought many battles and won, they are men of great utterances. So David used it a lot. Psalm 27, let's look at that before we just see it. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life.
Whom shall I bear? You think it's about making these things up. This guy was not making these things up. These things you are born. And to tell that these things you are born from the place of prayer. Some of them, in the course of him speaking those things up, he will even switch into prophecy and begin to talk about the death of Christ. Unknown to him. I'm telling you. Unknown to him. He prophesied and prophesied, and even that you would see, he would just be talking and just speaking, because those are divinely inspired. He will cut into the prophetic and begin to talk about what will happen in the future. Continue. Say, Lord, turn on my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host will encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Continue, we're just talking. And in verse 5, quickly. To inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Oh, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. Verse 6, he shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will still present the Lord. Those are not things you just sit down and say, I want to make up what I will say now. Next time when there's a problem, try your trance. Try your trance. And utterance is not what it is. It's not in your heart. It's in my heart. I'm just saying, God will come through for me. That's what I'm saying. I've never won by thinking. He says, I'm meditating. Even meditation must produce speaking. If you fully meditate, I might touch meditation next week. If you fully meditated, you will speak. Meditation is to take in words, turn them over and over and over in your heart until it begins to overflow and begin to flow out in your words. Are you here? So when you switch into a trance, one of the things you receive, for instance, you'll be strengthened. You'll be edified. You cannot be edified. David did this a lot. He did it when he was running from Saul. Go to Psalm 52 verse 1. He was running from Saul. You know, I'll read this and I'll show you the show you something in the New Testament, then we'll continue. You know, he said, why boastest thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man, the goodness of God endures forever. The tongue, he was just complaining about what Saul was doing to him. You know, hallelujah. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather, he was just talking. And I said, oh God shall likewise destroy thee forever. By the time you now read, you know, look at verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Now, in verse 7, at this point, verse 7, he was still complaining of what was going on in his life. This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusting the abundance of riches and sent of his wickedness. He was talking about Saul and guys that were after his life. Verse 8, words now flowed. He said, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Wow. You see, this is not just thoughts. Thou hast done it. He was still running from Saul. He said, thou hast done it. You know, there are words that God can give you when you are passing through very tough times that you can't even boldly tell anybody because it looks very stupid. Imagine God walking to you as Abraham. He said, how many kids do you have? He said, Lord, I have none. He said, you are now father of many nations. And turn to Sarah, you are now mother of many nations. Amen. Paul and Silas, they were put in prison. All we know is that they came out. Well, how did they come out? Paul and Silas, after praying, what did they pray? What did they sing? These guys were in prison and they began to pray. After they prayed, what do you think they were singing? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You get in prison and you pray and pray to a point. When words and songs begin to pour out like that, the prison doors will open. The chains will break. I've come out from mess through utterance. And I tell you, when everything is blocked, sometimes, and that's why a believer should never be found saying, I don't know what to do. A believer should never be found saying, I'm just confused. When you don't know what to do, prayer is what to do. I'm telling you. At this point in my life, I'm just so confused. Have you tried praying? Try your utterance. Just go. And he begins to give you words. I'm changing the situation. Nothing is going to go wrong again. Now, sometimes when you're done praying, you just hear in your heart, peace, sleep. Hallelujah. And then you land on your bed and you begin to sleep like that. And people come into the room and peeping. And they find you sleeping. They say, why are you sleeping? Say, everything is just so messy. Things are still wrong. Nothing is working yet. And you are sleeping. It's like I heard, peace, sleep. Yeah. I enjoy some kind of things from God that even you cannot understand when I begin to do them. Peace. Sleep. I love utterance. Because sometimes it doesn't make sense. You just find yourself saying some things. That's why you master how these things work. That's it. So that's for instance what trans gift. You learn to talk. You learn to talk. One of the things this does for you, apart from the fact that it strengthens you, it can even release joy. I tell you one thing. Have you noticed that when you are so down and you begin to speak in so long and begin to speak words that come in English for some time, you become joyful. You just find yourself saying crazy things, running up and down. Things are still bad. Sometimes you are crying. Sometimes you are still shedding tears. Sometimes you still feel the pain in your body. But then God is saying something else to you. And you're just speaking them forth. You're just releasing them. Just releasing them. And other gifts, for instance, that God has given us are the revelation gifts. To know things. To know things. God gave us these gifts to make life easy. Apart from that, it will help you. A lot of people, but you see your own life, it can make your life easy. There are things I've sorted out by word of knowledge. Things in my life. Amen. Word of knowledge. This thing I'm telling you now can keep you safe. It is that thing that can tell you, see, don't enter that vehicle, something is going to go wrong. It's that thing that can tell you, sit down in your house. And they say, hey, did not be one put alone. No, if you had just come out, you would have entered. Hey, just smart you missed it. I didn't miss it by smarting. I missed it by the spirit. Do you understand the point? It's word of knowledge. You just kind of know what to do. You just kind of know where to go. You just kind of know where to go pick what you're looking for. Let me try this one day. If you start looking for something in your house and you just know what it is, just begin to walk around and be saying things like, I'm not confused. I don't lose things. I know where this thing is. Have you ever tried this? Have you ever said, I know where it is? And somehow you just go straight to where it is and you go pick it up. Try it, I'm serious. Oh, this, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Don't use those words. Never say you are confused. The reborn spirit can never be confused. The reborn spirit can never run out of ideas. I just said that now. See, if you're running your own business, I just said it for you. The reborn spirit can never run out of ideas. Never come to the point you say, this part I don't know what next to do. You know what next to do. It's in your spirit. It's not word of knowledge. It's not word of wisdom. You know what next to do. I'm telling you. I've never come to a time in this church and I say, at this point, I don't know what next we're going to do. No. That's never happened. I always know what to do. Yeah. I've never. So at this point, that's the problem before us. We don't even know what to do. How do we deal with this? Well, no. Did our property got missing in this church? Came to church. That was on a Monday. By evening, was it? A Monday, yes. I mean, they had moved the property. And they called me. I was very pissed. I was not only pissed. I was pissed because I won these guys. But I was also pissed because, come on. There was no money in church account as at then. And I remember I searched my spirit and just felt the Holy Ghost saying, and what I heard him say, clearly, don't address this matter today. Some of you remember, I didn't do anything about it. He said, don't address this matter today. I said, okay. So, I think Pastor Myers, what have you called? I said, I've heard. Don't worry, leave it. We'll talk tomorrow. It was now the next day that I called him for the first time. Because sometimes when God talks to you, it should not make sense. I know if I had addressed that matter that day, maybe till now we would not have gotten that property. Why? Because at that point, there was a rush of adrenaline. You would have said this, you wouldn't have said. I didn't get the point. So when you said, don't address it today, I just took time that night, I just prayed,
and slept. The next day, I told the minister, let's have a meeting. And it was sorted. I get the point. I don't want to get into details, but it was sorted. Because I just felt, you know, you can imagine when, that's a night, you know, when such things happen, I should have said, oh, let's meet in church this night. Now. You know, yeah, sometimes God just wants you to rest. I told you last week, before you call a committee, call a prayer meeting. Before you gather your board to discuss the matter, pray. All this nonsense talking about to come and talk in the board meeting. Say, what's the way forward? The way forward is your spirit. It's called word of knowledge. Did you hear what I said? If you are doing something on your system and the thing hooks somewhere, close it and pray in tongues. Have you practiced what I'm saying before? Just close it. I don't forget things. I don't make mistakes. I'm not confused. My mind thinks like Christ. I know what to do. You just pray like that, and then you hit it again. What I've done. The word of knowledge is something that has helped me break through many things in life. Many things say, oh, this place is blocked. I just get there. Somehow I just know what I'm going to do. Have you ever had this sort of knowledge flow like, you just know that this is what you have to do. You didn't hear any voice. You didn't see any vision. But you just know. That knowing that you know. You just say, how are you sure? Say, I don't know how I'm sure. But I'm very sure that we should do this thing. However, suppose I'm talking about. I don't know why. You say, other people are shutting down their business in this area. I think you should relocate yours too. Say, I just know. Sometimes you even tell them, I will relocate it tomorrow. And you get back that night, you pray. After praying, you just come back and say, I'm staying here. Amen. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Seeing and knowing. Hearing by the Spirit. Now, there's a story about word of knowledge I like reading a lot in the Bible. And that's 1 Kings chapter 6. Is it 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 8. I read it a lot. I love the story. Word of knowledge. To know by the Spirit and to see and to know in the Spirit. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. You know this story? You should know this story. If you want to make progress with word of knowledge, you know this. So this is one of those stories that make me know that there is God. Warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. Like the guy will sit down in his house and decide, okay, we are going to camp around New Heaven. When they finish discussing, Elisha will call the king on the phone and say, don't, people should not pass there. That's where they will camp. He was so bad, continue. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once, not twice. Verse 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he felt there is a threat among us that will finish discussing something in a caucus meeting. Meeting of four. Only four trusted associates. Once he just finished, the next day, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel, the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He said, even if you discuss it inside your room, Elisha will say it. Wow. I love word of knowledge. Has a pastor ever walked up to you and said something, you're wondering, were you in my house this morning? As soon as this kind of word of knowledge manifests when we are preaching, pastor will just teach and make one digression like that. And the digression is so accurate. And then you're looking at your friend that both of you discussed it. Said, did you tell him? You know, the life of Jesus was characterized by that. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Simply. And tell you, his life was so naturally supernatural. He will not say, I perceive. He will just know their thoughts and begin to address it. That's what every pastor that does not flow in word of knowledge will struggle in ministry. Ministry is by the Spirit. That's the truth. And when I mean a pastor flowing the word of knowledge, it's not always this one you guys know about. Oh, there is somebody here. Your name is this. I mean, where through his message,
He's describing what is going on in your life perfectly, like he was inside your room. As long as he does it very jokingly, and you just feel attacked. Amen. I say, have you ever felt that way? They so perfectly say, did this man? Your baby just talking, say, and you know, this afternoon when you wanted to come to you, something told you not to come. You were even lying on your bed until your phone rang. It was the phone that rang you up to tell to come to church today. And you're like, I call my name. He said, even the things you say in your bedchamber, go back to that verse 8. Put up like NLT. I love this story very well. And it can help you navigate through life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elisha, the man of God, will warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel will send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. Time and again. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his servants together, officers together, and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? Because this, it can't be a coincidence. Once, they caught us. Two times, they caught us. You see, our life is not a mistake. We don't guess. I don't succeed by mistake. I'm programmed to succeed. I don't know things by accident. If I try it 10 times, I will get it 10 times. It's by the Spirit. He will tell me what to do, exactly what to do. It's not us, my Lord, the king. One of the officers replied, Elisha. The prophet in Israel tells the king, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom, like you and your wife just stay, people just stay, see what I say? Oh, you know, you don't whisper around the anointing. The anointing hears the things you whisper. Think about the anointing, something that hears your thoughts. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Something that hears your thoughts. Isn't that a whisper? Whisper is too much. Once if you think it, the anointing will catch it. I get what I'm talking about, somebody. Some of you, when you get into a company, you are employed. Trust God. That there will be a supernatural wisdom, that word of knowledge, word of wisdom that will rest upon you. And you just walk up to your boss and say, I think if we do this and do this and do this, we'll have massive sales. And they will try it, it will work. Second time it will work. Third time it will work. They say, how do you used to know that this is going to work? There is a spirit in man. It's word of knowledge. You just get to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it. Don't just use it only when we are in church. And we say, heard someone and say, your life is preserved. Mm-mm. What of your own personal life? When you get into your company, when you get into class, when everything is bad, when you are looking at your textbook and you know that there is no way you can finish this textbook before 8 o'clock in the morning and you have an exam. Now, I'm not encouraging laziness here. Because some people say, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. This one was for me. This is my word. No. I'm not encouraging laziness. But you know, some things, I remember there was one course I wrote in school. Big like this. Bigger than Bible. The thing is, don't be like me. Immediately we started, so I saw that textbook. I told myself, I can't finish this. I decided. I've never finished reading the Bible that time. I said, I will never finish this book. And then they now gave us this back-to-back kind of exam. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So by the time I came back, the next day was I started reading. I was reading. By the time it was 2, I just knew there is no way you will finish this thing. And I also told myself, there is no way this man will set from every part of this book. So what if I just get to know where he's going to set it from? Wait. Hold on. Don't say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Pastor, you liberated me. But I just told myself, there's no way he will set from it. I just prayed. And there's some things that God does for you. You will know this one is not guessing. It was natural because everything, Question 1, question 2, question 3, question. I picked, just read those things. I slept. If I perish, I perish. You know, and it's not, it's not guesswork. I've tried it again and again. I've gone into the exam hall. It happens almost many times. You finish reading and you get into the exam hall. It's like somebody poured something on your brain. Hot water. It just came, nothing. Looking at all the questions that are looking at you. You just know you've seen this thing somewhere. You've seen something like this somewhere. But you don't even know what it is. Hear me. That's not the time to now begin to say, that person you are talking to does not even know it. Sure, you read it, but it has disappeared. Close that book. Just pray. First, practice what I'm talking about. Just pray. Start praying, sir. What do you do? Start writing. Right? Just start writing. And somehow you're not going to fail. I'm telling you about it. That's not the time to begin to say, oh, tell me this, tell me that. Number two, number three. See, I've grown to trust now. This is some students do this, guesswork, but I don't do guesswork. I've grown to trust the inward witness a lot. That when it sets, now, I'm not a lazy student who will not read. I read. When I do everything I have to do to stand, and I enter that exam hall, and you want to show me shege, I have another option. I will switch to that. I'm telling you a lot. I'm not someone that lives my life by miracle per se. When I'm by a miracle, every time I'm expecting that God is going to tell me answer in the hall. That's wrong. A believer should live his life by principles. Principles of God's word. One of them, for instance, is hard work. Diligence. I get what I'm talking about. So you live a life by principle. You read your books. You do all of that. But when you are done with that, and then you get into the hall, and they still want to show you that that stronger switch to that one. And every student in Nigeria must have this experience at least once. Because sometimes these lecturers decide that you are going to fail. Imagine the lecturer entering class to tell you, see, A is for me. No, somebody said A is for God. B is for me. C is for the best students. A lecturer. You know the reason why they do some of this is because when we went to the university, there's a digression. We were small. We were young. At my age, you say A is for God, I will report you. We'll fight it. And I'm no longer a small boy. Now which one is A is for God? Who are you? A is for God. So I will not come to class. Because if that comes to class, I will get D, so we're going to be fine. So when they mean you like that, switch to the second option, my brother. Yeah. Pray. Open your spirit. So the man said, everything you discuss, even the things you discuss inside your room, Elisha will hear it. So there's no point holding secret meeting. You can't discuss it in his presence, because whether in his presence or in the bedroom, it's the same thing. He will still hear. And that's me. And what I'm talking to you about has saved me a lot from this thing they call conspiracy. Have you ever suffered conspiracy? Have you ever suffered people conspiring against you? Pray it doesn't happen to you. If it happens to you, value word of knowledge. Because by that word, sometimes nobody has told me anything, but I just sense there's a conspiracy around. I just know. And sometimes, because some people, because you don't know how to engage word of knowledge and all that, you don't know what is happening around you. So this right person, the very person conspiring against you, you find yourself bond with him and begin to even spill your secrets to the person. If you suffer conspiracy, you value hearing from God. You value it too. Because somehow you just find, and some of you notice it, somebody have been flowing with very well. You now meet him the next day. And you find out there is this repulsion. That's the very experience I'm talking about. We talked very well yesterday, but today, I feel there is something off. Investigate it. It's in the place of prayer. I'm not talking about ask questions. Investigate it in prayer. Because as God is telling you, that one is already. And then it will keep you safe. My ears are open to hear God. So Elisha will hear the things you discuss in your room. Jesus, same thing. Jesus, knowing their thoughts every time. Knowing what they were thinking, he will now answer. So Jesus responded to people's thoughts. That's very powerful. He responded to people's thoughts.
Amen. And in Matthew 17, I think that's verse 24. Let's see if we can tie this up shortly. In Matthew 17, they were come to Capernaum. This is also a powerful miracle here of provision that came by. Should we call this word of knowledge or word of wisdom now? They needed money to pay tax. And Jesus said, go to the mouth of the fish. How did he know that the very first fish Peter was going to catch will have money inside? How you guys what I'm talking about? You see how he knew? That's the same way you will know that this business will pay and the other one will not pay. I know what I'm talking about. Sort of knowledge. How did he know that the very first one Peter was going to catch would have money? What if Peter missed it? How did he know that the very first one? He was not guessing. He said, go, the first fish you catch should open the mouth that is money. Fishes don't give birth to money. Fishes don't eat money. What are the chances? I don't know. What if somebody lost his money and they fell into the waters? How did he know that a fish would pick it? How did he know that that's the exact fish that Peter was going to catch? That's why I believe, hear me, I believe that you shouldn't make crazy investments. There's something called knowing. The ability to know. The spirit of seeing, the spirit of knowing. We just know that somehow this is going to work. And that's why some of you that I'm talking to now, that is something you've been doing for a very long time. A business you have been doing. And you've been doing it. It's not producing result. But every time you go to pray about it, God is saying, hang on there. Please hang on. Please hang on. Because actually, if you don't hang on, you will step out exactly when it was supposed to. When there will not be progress. And I say, I wish. I always remind you guys of this story. All these things happening in the crypto market now and all that. You know, before it happened, I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. I didn't know it by reading. I don't have any crypto app on my phone to start with. And not even one. Say amen. So I didn't read any. I didn't check anything. I don't sense that. Says, if you guys put your money here, I got to remove it too. And some people actually listen to me. Or some of them listen and remove it. Some people did not remove it. They remove small. Where is that small you left? And I can tell you, these things, you can know them by the Holy Ghost. Of course, the Holy Ghost is not against your natural reasoning. He's not against it. Holy Ghost will not tell you not to read. The Holy Ghost will not tell you not to study. What I teach is this. Hear this. In things like this, if there is no direct instruction from God over a matter, follow what the experts say. Remember, I might teach you that. You check, the market is showing that this is going to happen. If God did not say it will not happen, don't start asking God. Follow what the experts say. That's why knowledge is good. That's why taking courses are good. Don't just say, oh, pastor, I like this you're teaching. I'm not going to read anything. I just ask the Holy Ghost. Tell me. He won't tell you nothing. That's why taking courses are good. Just like in terms of health. You go to the hospital. Doctors say, oh, we want to, the only way is for you to take this treatment. He said, I will not take it. I'm a child of God. If God did not directly say, do not take that treatment, take it. God is not against the experts. Are you what I'm talking about? But when there is a counter instruction from God, ignore what the experts have said. Go with what God is saying. Are you what I'm talking about? If you check weather forecast, and weather forecast is showing that tomorrow there will be no rain, and you are about to leave your house, and the Lord said, my son, pack in all your clothes, pack in all these things you spread outside, rain is coming. You check your weather forecast saying there will be no rain, please, forget this pass. But if there is no counter instruction from God, follow what the experts are saying. I get what I'm talking about. That's just how these things work. Pay attention to the Holy Ghost. You know, I just talked about packing clothes now. And someone was leaving house and somebody just said, pastor, Something told me to pack in this clothes and I was coming out. God will help you. They will try again. See, something actually, I just like you caught me. Something told me. And sometimes when that thing is telling you to pack in the clothes, the weather is so bright, there's no problem. People are like, why was all this one? I just say, let me leave it. Sometimes in telling you big boss. It was at that point he knew that he has messed up. Then he just enter boss, bam, the weather would just swing. Say, if I had known. Yield to it now that it's just simple things like pack clothes. You see, it's just simple things now. Tomorrow we'll be dealing with things about 10 million, 100 million, and just by ignoring one simple thing, you say, if I had known. Like what I'm saying? Just ignoring. Now it's just simple things about packing. Pick that stuff. Don't leave it there. Lock this place. Strengthen this place. Do this. You just miss it. I say, my clothes, water poured on it. It's fine. But the time is coming when, because, you know, maybe some of you now, we are still, most of us are young here. You can afford some mistakes now. Use this period that you can afford mistakes to learn and test run how to follow the leading of the Spirit. A time is coming where you can no longer afford mistakes. When if you make mistakes, they will not only have consequences on you, they will affect people that are around you, even your children and your family. You see some of the mistakes some of you made in making business. 2 weeks ago, you were a millionaire. Today, you're a 100-nia. It's not a problem now. And you know that it was just because I didn't listen to you. God was telling me, it's fine that you can make them now. Please begin to practice to hear God. Because the time is going to come. Junior is not going to hear that there is bear market. You know Junior? Once there is need for Cerelac, they don't build this beer market. I want to drink straight like now. That time, the mistakes you make then will have more consequences. And as you grow in life, your mistakes will have weightier consequences as you grow. Because now you can afford something. That's why I want to talk about hearing God and following Him. Now you just miss it and you just laugh. I didn't pack in my clothes. A time is coming when there will be more. When instructions will be about, don't put these kids in this school. I get the point. And you miss it. You put them in that school. After some time, my spiritual father was sharing a story with us, you know, just telling, talking about something like this. He said, you know, when they came into Lagos, as their finance kept growing, they put their kids in a school. Of course, the school is an expensive school, but not like as expensive as. So he said, when God blessed them and multiplied their finances, he said, the first thing that came to their mind, is now time to move these kids from this school now to a school that will meet this current status we have now. And the Holy Ghost said, leave them there. It's by the Spirit. I get to me, it's by the Spirit. It's not, leave them there. Leave them there. Sometimes it is the school your child goes to that will end up making them live a shorter life. Sometimes they will meet people they were not supposed to meet. There are people that are doing Yahoo today because they met one human being they were not supposed to meet in their life. And those human beings have been avoided if they didn't go to certain places. I'm telling you for free. So this thing is by the Spirit. It's now we're talking about word of knowledge. You can just miss it and everything will be fine. But a time is coming that if you miss it, there will be consequences upon you and upon others. Strain your ear to hear from the Holy Ghost. That's one way to have a fully supernatural life. A fully supernatural life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And then the last one is the power gift of the Spirit. Gift of healing. Working of miracles. Use that one very well. It's going to put you over in life. If your finance is bad, use it. If your health is bad, use it. Every time you fall sick, don't always think of calling the doctor. Try power small. Don't always resort to the natural ways of sorting issues. The thing about the power gifts of the Spirit is, it's one gift that can affect every part of your physical life. It can touch your finance. It can touch your, it can touch everything. I've seen power do certain things. Jesus went as far as saying, you can tell a mountain to move. You don't get it. I wasn't talking about a spiritual mountain. You know how I know? He was showing them a particular, you can tell this mountain. He was talking about something physical. To move. He went that far. And so you see, because the believer has the power to heal the sick, to work miracles, there are some things that when they begin to go wrong in your life, you take your stand and fix it. That's why you're a believer. That's why you're a believer. It has a pain in your body. Take up a confession from now. Every day, the name of Jesus, pain disappear. Pain be gone. Pain disappear. Pain be gone. Use the power. Use it again and again. You are anointed to work miracles. And not only on others, but even on your own self. Are you getting me? Not, you know, I was thinking about it. Can the anointing of God I receive be a blessing to me too? I was thinking about this afternoon, and the Holy Ghost said to me, did you not receive word of knowledge as the gift of the Spirit? Has it not helped you in your personal life? So why can't the gift of healing you have received help you to your personal life? I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I get the point. The day God gave us the power gifts of the Spirit, He sorted out our physical life. The day God put the Holy Ghost in us and gave us the gifts, He fixed our physical life. So in the time of confusion, word of knowledge. The time of depression, utterance gifts. You just speak, joy will flow. The time of lack, power gift. Oh, there is sickness, power gift. One child is not hearing word, power gift. I was in this church last 2 weeks. And then I gave a word of knowledge about somebody that had left home. For long, they've not seen him. I love the power of God. You see power of God? I love the power of God. It reminded me of one time, that was 2007. I went to preach somewhere. This woman told me, said, I've not heard from my child. I'm telling you, real life story. I've not heard from my child in 10 years. So I don't know whether he's alive. I don't know whether he's dead. I said, it's okay. I'm going to pray. And your child will find you. You've been looking for him. He will now find you. We prayed. The next day. No, he didn't come back. The next day, the neighbor called her. It was an old woman. Neighbor called her and said, you have a call. Say, from who? He picked the phone. It was the son. Do you know what happened? This guy was living in Onitsha. This Onitsha, it's not like he's not even abroad. And then was living with one girl. And the girl, they're not married. And the girl has just been in his life. Living with the girl cut him off from home. Everything home. The guy cannot imagine. He does business. I'm telling you, see, jazz is real low. He will do business and run account for this girl. Real life story. That is not like I didn't hear from movie. Life. You know what happened? We finished that prayer that day. That morning, the girl angrily stood up, carried her bag and left. My point is that the power gifts can be dynamic in its working. Sometimes you cannot even tell how it's, we didn't know this story. I'm telling you, he carried his bag and left for 10 years, sir. 10. The boy, for the first time, remembered our mommy. I started looking for a number. You see the power of God? And so, for 10 years, did your mom say, our mommy? I said, thank God they were not married. Because if they were married, that's a whole new level because I've started processing divorce. It was from nowhere attached. That's why some of you men say, please calm down. Any girl you see, you just follow. Do you know? You think there are no spirits. You think this world is normal. There are spirits, so. Following Big Nash. I'm talking to you. Don't even remove your face. I'm talking to you. Glory to God. He says, I want to win her to the Lord, which, to, you better mind your business, so. But I've seen things, so, that's telling you a story about a guy in this, A guy that was telling me, they picked a young girl and then turned and they didn't see the girl again. The guy told me, said, if I carry woman again in my life, just that he's back to it. You know, the thing, I just said that to say, you see, a fear does not change people. You can only stop them because that day he was so scared. Carry lady that was just coming, they come from the club. Normal unbelievers. No, when you say unbeliever, visiting pastor, you know he's serious. 2 a.m. They were just going on the way, just stunned. The girl said, ah, let me pick something. Let me ease myself. Just stop the girl. She came down, they didn't see her again. They couldn't understand it. At the time, they were like, are we hallucinating? They drove back to the club to go and ask them, she, when we were leaving here, she will left with the girl. They were two in the car. And they said, yes, people left. One day was even teasing them. I hope so they never carry that girl, do ritual. This one where they asked, you know. They drove to the police station. When I made statements. And the policeman told them, well, we see these kind of things every day. As they were driving back, they got to that place where the girl disappeared that time. And they saw her, wig. And I'm telling you a real life story. Saw her wig in that place. Say the guy tried the number, for the number wasn't connecting. After some weeks, the girl called back. I say, hello? You didn't even ask after me. But there are such demonic. You need the power of God, though. Because I share this story sometimes to tell you, we don't live in a very normal world. Forget, I'm not an extreme, all this superstition. I don't do all this superstition thing. But there is demonic power. If you're an African, I don't believe that there are demonic powers. You're just lying. If you still don't believe, go to your village. If you say your name is whoever, go to your village. Spend 1 month. When you go there, be spraying money. I said, if you say you don't believe in the money, just go there. 1 month, spray money, to come back. You may not. You know, this happen. People travel home with cars and come back broke. Some finish going for Christmas and come back. Christmas is coming. They will come back in January. It's like everything has shut down. They are dealing with demonic forces and people are wicked. You see, the same way God has many people he's using, Satan has many people he's using too. The same way we are here shouting, Lord, use me so much. Telling the devil, use me. I'm telling you. A young man told me those days, he woke up in that and spread his hand and say, in the name of Jesus, or not Jesus, like he spread his hand and say, let forces come and take over me. I'm not joking. The guy works for Satan. He's a believer and he's a preacher now. But I'm telling you for real, there are people, you know, I just tell you, go to the village, they just see you, they just say, ah, how come he's this old? He has grown? Who can bet to this one? You think they're happy? They're not. They're just planning you, they're imagining, why, how can you be alive? And you know what is happening? The same reason why police is carrying every young boy on the road is jealousy, is envy. At your age, they had not crossed that line you crossed. Are you going to talk about? They're wondering how come life is good for you. You are 22. Dead, they are in their 60s and then their own kids are not even seeing anything. So they're going to come against you. But then we are not afraid. You know, when it is spiritual, it's easier. When it's problems, when we are throwing me punch, that's when I don't like. If it is spiritual, like power, it's easier. One word is enough. Get out of this place. It's enough. It's enough. Just raise your hand and suspend the power of it. Some of you need to go back to your village this December. And if Satan has been messing up, you just go and say, hey, it's enough. I'm back now. You don't understand. When you are praying in your compound, you're not just praying as a child of God. You're praying as a son of the soil. Even the demons that grew up there know you. You grew up there too. And I'm not joking, no. There are some things you guys call prophets to come and do in your family that you are the ones that are supposed to do. Just go as a member of that house. And say, in the name of Jesus, this thing has to stop now. I love the power of God.
When God gave us the power gift of the Spirit, it's so that we can live a spiritual life. Jesus put it this way. He said, you shall drink deadly things. It shall not harm you. Deadly things, sir. Deadly things. Deadly things. Deadly things. And so you see, Christmas is approaching. You want to go to the village. Just go to the village. Nothing is going to happen to you. And what if they poison me? You chest it. Let me say something to you. And I told you guys one day. You are still alive. Some of you are alive. And you are making progress because this devil cannot hurt you. Some of you have so many haters that if the devil could have killed you, he would have killed you by now. Are you following what I'm talking about? That is the truth. Those that you don't know, one day, I can't forget that experience. One day the Lord said, I will open your eyes for a few minutes for you to see something. Many years ago, that was 2006, 2007. Now I refer to those years a lot. 2006, 2007, 2008. The reason is because those were my formative years in the supernatural. Many things, that was my formative. God said, I will open your eyes to show you something. And boom, he opened my eyes. You know what I saw? I've told you guys this, and I saw, my first time I've seen demons. I saw demons. I saw forces that he told me at every point in time in your life, there are forces that want to take you out. And then he said, I will show you the other side. I saw angels. I can't forget that experience. He said, at every time, there is a constant battle of darkness and light. But you are heavily guarded. So what you just have to do is engage, but don't give in to fear. Engage the power of God. And I was saying that the authors give of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit rather, can do anything. Anything you can. I've seen it do many crazy things. It can transfer somebody. The person in this office said you will never get the job. And the next day his transfer letter will come out, they move him to another branch, bring another person, you get the job. I've seen this happen in different ways. Too much that I don't even know how I can tell. The Bible puts it this way. Say the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man make a tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. Dynamic. He can work in different ways. I can say I've seen it transfer someone from one office to another. I've seen that power give somebody emergency sabbatical leave. So that, because God knows that if that guy is in that office, you come for the interview, they will turn you down. He will not agree. So he will go on 3 weeks, emergency sabbatical. He will go. 3 weeks later, he's back. You're employed. He said, when did this one join this company? I'm here, sir, now. As some of you have experienced what I'm talking about, maybe when you're doing your project defense and all that. Sometimes the major person that used to be very hot on, harsh on everybody. As you're walking in, he's stepping out to go and eat himself. Before he comes back, you are done. He said, are they done with him? He said, yes, they're done with me. They have a problem with that. I don't live a life of coincidences. It's the power of God. It's not a coincidence. I'm not believing. He just stepped out for some time. Sometimes it's when you're entering the office, the man is already tired. He didn't even ask you anything. He said, what's your name? Have I entered the interview? Or maybe you go to defend your projects and they start discussing with you. He said, how are you? What's your name? He said, that's your name. Where are you from? Which state? After discussing with you for like 15 minutes, they say, what did you work on? He said, when I saw him, he looks very smart. And then he looks very, very smart. He said, are you smart? He said, yes. He said, are you sure you know what you did? He said, yes, I know what I did. Don't ask me. I said, let's give him an A. Hallelujah. He can fix difficulties. I just told you about Paul. A viper beat him, fastened himself to his hand, he shook it off. That's power gift right there. You notice he didn't even pray. That thing is gift of faith. He just knew that thing will not hurt him. He just knew. I learned power gift early. And thank God I did. Because the first heavy attack I got in ministry as a small boy that went for mission work was to be poisoned. I took it. Small boy, 15 years. I wonder, why do you want to kill a 15-year-old boy? The power of God is real. I'd like you to get set, because one of the things that will keep you above in this life is this, the gifts of the Spirit.
You know, Paul was traveling with those guys in that ship, and he told them, word of knowledge. Oh, sorry, word of wisdom. He told them, see, you guys should not move from here. This ship is going to crash. Of course, they didn't listen to him. After some time, when everything was going bad, he stood up and told them, guys, you should have listened to me and not lose from Crete. That's Acts 27. He said, but don't worry, because last night, the angel of the Lord, who I serve and whose I am, stood beside me and told me that you will stand before Caesar. Amen. He said, and I've given you the life of everybody in this ship. How did Paul know that everything? You see that gift of the Spirit again, saving Paul in the middle of the sea. I don't know if you've pictured what I'm talking about. You know, those big seas where you get there, you just stand there, you look down water, back everywhere is water. You can't see land. And their lives were almost being lost. But an angel appeared to Paul and said, don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. In the midst of everything, you know, some of you know the story. I was traveling those days. I used to come to Enugu here, do service. Thursday, like after Thursday evening like this, those days. Like by now, once we close, I hit the road. I start going to Asoka every night. You remember me? Yes, some of you remember. One of those nights I was going with one of our pastors here. I think it was Pastor Dave. And he was driving. And just while on the road, I just felt this strange stuff. And I started praying in tongues. From Enugu, I was praying in tongues. And of course, he joined me too. And one of the ways to be safe in life when you're working with a leader is always take his posture. I'm telling you, it's a lesson on honor. Always take his posture. If I go with you to a place and I start dancing with me. If I go to the place and I stand, if they bring food that I'm not eating, don't eat. Do you understand me? You don't know why I didn't say I'm not eating. What if I saw something? A hunger will not allow you to rest. He says, sir, you don't want to eat. He says, can I? So I just started praying. And I hear you, he joined me, started praying. And we prayed all the way he was driving with God on Soka. By the time we got into our street, lo and behold, there were robbers there. But just shortly before we came, they just shot somebody dead. They were there. We didn't know. We got there, I thought there were security guys doing some checks. So I told him to stop for them. Stopped, we wind down. And they were, of course, they pulled their gun, come down and all that. You know that spirit of might. That thing just dropped on him. I just looked at him. The next thing, he just put the gun in reverse. Pew! They're like, stop there. So what if they shot? Well, they didn't. But they were ready to kill. That's it, that night. They killed someone that night. That night. Amen. And imagine God put that prompt in our hearts to pray on the road. And we just say, no, it's not a program I'm coming from. Which one is I'm coming from program again? I'm saying I should pray again. Amen. I had that same leading coming back from a meeting. I don't know why I'm talking about safety this night, because, but I feel it's prophetic. Because God is going to keep you safe. And it's a bargain of the Spirit. I was coming back from a meeting. Some of you know the story. 2006 to 72. I was trekking midnight, 2 a.m. You know, I used to tell somebody, some of this I tell people not to do now. I did it. This is when I see people that make night journeys. I'm bothered. Why are you traveling at night? Those days, I leave my house by 8 to start the journey sometime. 10 p.m. I'm not joking. They finished program around 1 in the night. Only me was trekking home to my house. Very long distance. So if you know Suka very well, I was going from St. Cyprus. Was trekking with my big Bible. And he got to them, the Holy Ghost and start praying in tongues. And as I was approaching that barrack side, I saw one guy run out from his house. And I said, guy, what's happening? Why are you running? He said, I don't know what to happen for there, you know. I already looked. I saw people were lying down, people were sitting on the ground. Obviously, robbers were robbing a house inside, and they were on those guys were on the road, mounting watch for people that were inside. So I didn't know what to do. Should I turn and start going back? Do I even know what is behind? And just somehow in my head, I just stood there and generated some more. You know how these things work. Have you ever gone to grind Gary in your life? Have you? Have you ever started Lista? You know how it starts? It's not like the normal car that you just start. You start turning it. It picks up gradually. I've never seen that kind of thing. Until it picks up finally. You know, sometimes it can be like that. When you start the tungsten at first, it's not picking up. Just start it like that. Until it hits that threshold. At that point, you can do anything. So I just stood there, generated a thing for some time. And I just started moving towards them. Somehow, you know, thinking about it now in the flesh, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? But it was no longer in the flesh at that point. Under my breath. And the Holy Ghost said, when you get there, talk first. And I got there. Before they could say that, I said, good evening, oh, how far is it going? Hallelujah. And they say, where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from church. I'm going home. Oh. I just acted so dumb. You know, so dumb, like I didn't know what they were doing. And the other one told the other person, tell this guy, make it, they go. The exact thing they said, now this kind of people, they put people for wahala. And by that statement, my confidence had risen. And I looked at them again. I said, I heard that somebody said there are robbers down there. I hope that place is safe. They said, we don't know. Please be going. And that time I was already so excited in the spirit. And I just looked at them. I said, Rebecca, Ladabash! You know, the end of this story is always funny because by the time I walked and walked and I looked back, they couldn't see me. I ran. I took, because it looked like him. Then I walked past them. That thing that was wearing me left. I said, Jesus, what just happened right now? I ran from that barracks. I was running till I got home. I was running non-stop, like till I got to my, till I entered Palo. Jesus, Jesus. So, you know, it wasn't just me. Even now, thinking about it now, I can't even do that thing now. But let the opportunity arise again. I just need to charge up myself in the spirit again. Have you ever felt this thing wear you like a cloth? It's like the spirit of faith. When you are done acting, you're asking yourself, was I the one that acted? Not some of you, that spirit of faith will manifest at work sometimes. You have this boss that's been talking you down. One of these days, she's going to come to talk you down again after you finish some kind of retreat. I said, excuse me, ma, you can't talk to me like that. Without insult. You say, you're very stupid. You say, excuse me, ma, I'm not stupid. I'm whole, I'm sound, I'm mature, I'm wise. Wise in the wisdom of God, ma. You say, ha. Oh, enter your office. Is that where you sit down? Is that saying, what did you just do? Spirit of might. Ah. So powerful is, as I've seen it. When you are done, you ask yourself, did I just embarrass myself? What just came over me? The Bible will tell you this was Lord will come upon Samson. And suddenly he will believe that the jaw born of an ass can kill the Philistines. When he's done, the thing will leave to start asking, what did I just do right now? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. I said, anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When he's there, when he takes over you, it looks like there is something else talking to you. It has kept me safe many times. I had the same encounter when I was in school. First year, Esut, when Esut was still, when they were still shooting in Esut. That day, just coming back somewhere around that Umeze junction. Just got there and there was a heavy robbery taking place around school gates. I didn't know. And God sent his angel. Now I know he was an angel. But he wasn't looking like an angel. He looked like all these rough boys. He just walked up to me and said, Pastor, Alpha, I was standing waiting for a vehicle because I used to live around Obey then. I was waiting for a vehicle to take me back. He said, ah, Pastor, you the weight of moto. I say, yes. He now laugh. Pastor, no good deal. No good deal. Turn back and start going back. You know, I was greatest stubborn. He came a second time. Pastor, anything we do you? I don't know. No good deal. I know I've had some of these experiences I just shared with you now. So I say nothing else will happen, make it happen. Listen, there are many ways God will deliver you by His Spirit. Say it was Elisha they came to carry, and angels surrounded them. They didn't run. That was God's safety. But you still remember when they came to kill Jesus? God, that same God that kept Elisha safe, told Joseph and Mary to carry the baby and run. So God's deliverance will always be dramatic. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So the other God that made me confront thieves and nothing happened that day. When that guy said that in third time, I heard the Holy Ghost and Spirit, turn back now and start going to your friend's house. Immediately I just obeyed. I said that the fact it came a second time. I obeyed. Immediately I moved. That place, everywhere went into chaos. Police had landed there, started arresting people, started doing stuff. And it was a bloodbath around school gates that night. But it was the same God that kept me safe the other day that told me, don't go there, go back. I know what I'm talking about. There are many ways God will keep you safe. And because I'm talking about safety, I sense the Holy Ghost saying I should pray safety over you. Because He will go the extra mile to keep you safe. You see, December, from now to December, don't bother about the things you are going to hear. That something is going wrong there. Accidents are happening there. There are kidnapping people there. Because these things will increase. But hear this. You are kept safe. Not only you, but yours too. Parents in the Holy Ghost, you are kept safe. We will end this year. And our testimony will be, we counted everyone and nobody was missing. I declare safety over you. I declare safety over you. I declare safety over you. And perhaps you find yourself in a place where you have to wait around 2, 3 a.m. and I'm seeing this by the Holy Ghost. You are still on the road and you are sitting in the middle of nowhere. I'm seeing you by the Holy Ghost. Remember when that day comes. And I'm saying God will put His hand upon you. And hide you in His pavilion that day. And nothing is going to go wrong with you. In the name of Jesus. The mighty hand of God will rest upon you. And God will come through for you in safety. Sometimes the deliverance will be that He will tell you when to run. Sometimes you will already be standing face to face with the challenge. And He's going to lift you out like that. Sometimes it will be that they will shoot and it will not enter you. In the name of Jesus. You are now in your safety zone. You are now in your safety place. You are now in the place of your safety. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. The Holy Ghost should release something here before we go. The spirit that Kora Mendalia Prada, the Kunama, those said, pray for them. Let their spiritual sensitivity be heightened. Because the Lord said you will need it in these days. Let their spiritual sensitivity be heightened. Their ability to hear, their ability to see, their ability to perceive, their ability to know by the Spirit. You will pick it clearly. You will pick it clearly. Thou power of God, mekema krebate. Go through this place. Get into the hearts of men. Open their eyes. Open their hearts. At the count of seven, let eyes be open. Let ears be open. Let sensitivity be heightened. Meke merebete kamas. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five, number six, number seven, in the name of Jesus. There is someone believing God. Someone close to you traveled, and since the person traveled, you've been afraid, you've been scared of the person's safety. There are angelic movements. I sense it very strong around me. There are angelic movements. The power of God is sweeping through this place. Eyes that see, ears that hear. Magamande, brende, mando, brende, kina, mazeta. Heightened sensitivity, eyes that see, ears that hear, in the name of Jesus, take, in the name of Jesus. There is a touch of the Holy Ghost. There is a touch of the Holy Ghost. There is a touch of the Holy Ghost. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know. Begin to see. Begin to know. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know by the Spirit. Begin to see by the Spirit. Begin to know and see by the Spirit. Begin to know and see by the Spirit. Heighten sensitivity. Heighten sensitivity. You will perceive, you will understand. Now you see, now you know. Now you see, now you know. Now you see, now you know. Now you understand, now you interpret better. Now you see, now you know. Now you understand, now you interpret better. Begin to know and see by the Spirit. Begin to know and see by the Spirit. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. Wisdom for right judgment. Wisdom for right choices. Wisdom for right decisions. Wisdom for right decisions. See and know by the Spirit. Make marone mendila and bring the kikumarenda kaya. See by the Spirit. Know by the Spirit. See by the Spirit. Know by the Spirit. Everywhere you are, online, on ground, lift your two hands. Holy Spirit, rest upon those ones. Sharpen these eyes, sharpen these ears. Labre aviamo kuna mandia. Egriga digu vribambos grubataya. Belele tu griba digaba. Bevia maran digus grubateka. Meledebo kandalaba. From now, the days of confusion has gone. They've gone. They've ended. You will now see. You will now know. You will now perceive. You will now interpret. You will now see clearly by the Spirit. That Spirit that helps and makes for seeing and makes for knowing. That makes for right judgments. In Jesus' name. Before we go, there are some people here that what this evening did for you was that it awakened a passion in you to see more of the move of God. You want to do more of the supernatural.
Some of you want to do more. You want to heal the sick. You want to raise the dead. You want to do more with the supernatural. Now. Thank you, Father. If only you can be bold. If only you can get on the streets. If only you can get on the streets. If only you can join the outreaches. And if only where you go for those outreaches, you can be bold enough to dare to say what you see and say what you hear. If only you can be bold enough to lay hands when God is saying lay hands. If only you can be bold enough to try the things God is asking you to try. If only you can dare to trust God. He said you will have these results. If only you can dare to trust God. To trust God. To say what you see. To say what you see. To act on what you hear. There's an angel standing here. Whoosh. Whoo. Thank you. Ah. Oh, glory. Struggling with a pain in your body, please hold the place where the pain is. I see something like a surgical blade cutting off pain. If you have any pain in your body, just put your hand wherever it is. I see something like a surgical blade cutting off the pain. Cutting off the pain. There are two people that are here. I see a pain on the leg region. But the thing about this pain on the leg region I'm seeing is that it's something that you've received healing from it before. But it's like it came back after some time. Yeah. You've received it from me before, but it came back. But right now, it's gone. If you have a pain in your body, please stand. Please stand. Please stand. Please stand. Let me just do what I'm saying in my spirit. Was that you? Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is a miracle worker. Heavenly Father. Know that word I gave about healing and stuff coming and going back was for you too. But this time I removed this pain and be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Pains in your body, just let me see if I can just put hands on you. So just put hands on you. I hope if you are online, you are connecting to this flow because that is healing too. All over. Be gone. Pain be gone. Pain be gone. Is there pain in your body? Be gone in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's gone already. It's gone already. If I put hands on you, you could just check for the pain already. Move. Check for the pain. It's gone already. Even before I came here, it was gone. So check it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Open your body. It's gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. You check yourself. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up. Just praying the Holy Ghost is gone. Are we ready for signs? Because that is what we are going to begin to have from now. I want you to do something, and I'm going to give this instruction before we go. I want you, as you leave this place, I want you to take what I shared with you this evening very seriously. Go and exercise yourself more. Train yourself in these spiritual things. Even as I'm talking to you, I'm still trying to beef up some things to walk more. Because I found out something. The extent to which, you see, if I tell you the capacity that God has put in us as believers, many of us may not scratch 10% of it till we die. It's too much. That Jesus boldly said, you can say to a mountain to move, and it will move. It tells you that just casting out headache We've not even touched 1% of it. This one we pray and, they increase your salary. Jesus prayed and somebody went to the mouth of the fish and got money. Are you getting the point? This one we pray and then somebody dashes you money. Jesus brought bread and spoke over it and they multiplied. We've not scratched anything. I'd like you to decide to make progress. Because as you make progress in your spiritual flow, you begin to live more and more a life of miracles. A life of power. A life of signs and wonders. So that by the time you get to a point, your spouse, your children, people around you, one thing they will know, for instance, is, that guy, daddy used to hear God. Mommy can hear from God. He can, if she tells you to do this. So as your kids begin to grow, when they come to that point of heavy decisions, they say, I can call my mom and she will hear God. She will tell me what to do. And then they will call, and true to it, you're just going to say, before you called, I knew you were going to call. Let me tell you what to do. Exercise yourself. Get Christian books. Attention to supernatural. Get messages. Do practices. Walk yourself in the anointing. Practice. Have friends you're going to practice this with. Have friends you're going to interpret tongues with. Have friends you're going to just practice. Go for evangelism, players on the sea. Just do these things a lot. Until you gradually begin to master it. Because it is the Lord's way that all of us can handle these things perfectly. Then from there, you begin to see how these things will begin to come through for you in your own personal life. As you are just living your life normally, to show up. I just spoke about somebody now, that somebody, you have a loved one that traveled, and there is a little fear in your heart about his safety. He is actually a person, a guy. God is saying, no fear. Amen. No fear. There is no reason for tears this year. So no fear. There will be no reason for tears. There will be no reason for tears. Except you are shedding tears of joy. Because remember I told you this month, what you have been asking for will come to pass. Before we go, I just have one last thing for you. Pray any prayer. It's answers, right? Pray any prayer. Any prayer. Anything you're trusting God for. Anything you're asking of God. Just minutes. Say it in English. Just talk to God. Father to Son. Just pray any prayer. Answers are here. You already know that. So maybe I'll just tell you what to do. Put a demand, put a date, put a time frame. Say, Father, I want this to happen between this time. Something your heart can believe, something your heart can actually carry. We don't put these things to try. We're not trying. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And according to your prayers, I declare it is done. Amen. It is done. Amen. Within the time you asked for it, and even faster than that, Amen. It is done. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is done. I say it is done. It is done. It is done. It is done. Somehow you are able to unravel the situation. It is done. Somehow you are able to solve the issue. It is done. Somehow you are able to open those doors. It is done. In the name of Jesus. Now is day. It's time to celebrate. Because it is really done. Give a shout in this place.
Hallelujah. We're going to shout one more time, but hear what the Lord said. Please, don't give attention to fear. I don't know why God is bringing that word back. Don't pay attention to fear. I see a lot of fear here. Demonic stronghold of fear. Throw away fear. Throw away fear. Throw away fear. The will of the enemy will not prevail. So don't give in to fear. There are many more that be with you than they that be with them. I don't know what that word means for you. But I had it. There are many more that are with you than they that are with them. So don't give in to fear. That thing that Satan has thrown to your heart as an imagination will not happen. So don't give in to fear. And if your heart has been held back by fear of any sort, as we're going to shout, you're going to throw those fears away. We're going to shout and release a shout, and fear will disappear, faith will rise. Fear will disappear, faith will rise. Lift your voice, give that shout of faith. Amen. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.